In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today, or at least this weekend, they feel like the first real official days of summer to me, probably because school's out. And I remember so vividly as a kid waiting, sweating actually, through May, and even through the long Memorial Day weekend, as the days in May got longer and muggier and hotter in that small Iowa town where I sat through 13 years of public school torture. You know, I was waiting for that blessed last bell on that blessed last day of school when I was set free for almost three blessed months. You know, I knew when I left that classroom on that day that I would never have to go back to that classroom again. Of course, I was living in denial because there was always another classroom waiting for me in September, right up until the time I graduated from high school. But all I cared about was the fact that I had a summer in front of me. It was better than Christmas Eve. So even though my kids are long graduated, I still feel that sense of excitement that summer brings when school's out. And summer still brings me a real sense of freedom. Summertime, and the living is easy. Right? No snow to shovel. No blizzards to drive through. No outrageous heating bill to pay. No winter clothing. Shorts, flip-flops, clear bike paths for a few short, sweet months. Small pleasures, it's true, but sometimes the small pleasures are really the big pleasures, and they mean so much. As does to me the turning of the seasons. And now that it's early summer in Jackson Hole, and we're all surrounded by so much natural beauty, and here we are in church today on a Sunday morning. Congratulations. And this sudden summer that seems like it takes forever to get here, and then boom, all of a sudden it's here. Well, this sudden summer got me thinking about the church year and how we've moved into a new church season too. Out of Easter into Pentecost. And though summer is the shortest season, Pentecost is the longest church season, and it lasts all the way until Advent starts, which starts this year on December 1st, but we're not going to think about December today. We're going to stay here in the summer, in this Pentecost moment, when we celebrate our lives in the Spirit. And today being the first Sunday after Pentecost, this is Trinity Sunday. So, today I'm going to explain to you about the great mystery that is the Trinity. You see, I'm eminently qualified because I had 3 years of theological training, and I've listened to podcasts, and I've read books, and I've thought long and hard about this Trinitarian mystery. So here goes. I don't have a clue how to explain it. And that's a little frustrating for me, I've got to admit, because I like explanations. I like to take things apart and look at all the pieces and then try to put them back together again. And I long for answers. Well, the church likes to explain things too. And the Christian church in the first few centuries after Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected, and then ascended, well, the church tried hard to figure out how this man, sent from God, fit into the scheme of only one God. because the people who were in relationship with Jesus, they recognized him as something special, a new person, a new being, fully man, fully divine. They experienced him as the Son of God who brought love, truth, and light into the world. And then he was gone. No longer here on earth. Ascended into heaven. And yet, even though Jesus was no longer with them in person on earth, they felt the presence of the Spirit, some power that they hadn't felt before they'd known Jesus. And they testified to the Spirit's power in their lives. That's what much of the Gospels are really about. That's what the epistles are about. It's testified to in the Revelation to John that this power, it wasn't just a feeling. It was a new capacity that they had been given. Paul speaks to it in today's reading from Romans when he says, we, the followers of Jesus, we have peace. We have grace. And that even though we suffer, we endure, and we even have hope. Why? Paul says it's because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So the church, being the church, had a really hard time trying to explain what was going on here. But they felt that they needed to explain it. The early church spent a few centuries, probably a lot of money, lots of councils were convened, brilliant minds were engaged, people were excommunicated, and worse. In the course of trying to figure out how three different persons, and that's the term that was finally landed on, three persons, one God, how those three different persons could indeed be one God. And the explanation that is really not much of an explanation at all, if you ask me, but it's expressed in the Nicene Creed, which we recite every Sunday here in church. Now, if you want a really mind-numbing experience, I refer you to the Creed of St. Athanasius, which is found on page 864 of the Book of Common Prayer. Here, St. Athanasius parses out the nature of the Trinity. If it doesn't befuddle you, nothing will. Now, maybe you're saying, who cares, really? You know, I've been saying the creed all my life. Never crossed my mind that there was any contradiction in we believe in one God, the Father. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And if that's your experience, good. You're taking it on faith. There's really nothing to worry about. And if, like some dear friends of mine, and like me, I must admit, when I first started coming to church intentionally, well, if you choke on the words of the creed a little bit, because it all sounds too abstract, or perhaps too far-fetched, or perhaps too dogmatic, that's fine too. Because there's really nothing to worry about. Because all this explaining of the three persons in one God does not capture the experience of those early Christians whose lives were changed and enhanced by their experience of God's love through Jesus Christ. And I don't believe that any logical explaining of how it works in our lives comes close to delivering the experience of God's love that we have here at St. John's Episcopal Church. Good things are happening. The Spirit is moving like the early summer wind through the cottonwood trees, and there are seeds floating around in the air. And some of them will take root and grow into fruitful crop. And some will just blow around for a while and decompose. But there is life here and love here. And we're all fortunate to be part of the mystery. The mystery of God's love through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we don't just feel it. It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling that we get, but we act upon it. And we try to spread our love and God's love in real, meaningful ways together. And I think we're doing a good job of that. Keep up the good work. And because it's early summer, it's also graduation time. So if you've just graduated from preschool or kindergarten or elementary school or middle school or high school or college, have I forgotten any? There's so many graduations this time of year. Maybe a post-bac program, I don't know. Anyway, if you've just recently graduated, congratulations. And if your children have just recently graduated, congratulations to you too. Good work. But because it's graduation time, there have been lots of commencement speeches lately. Some good, some not so good, all well-meaning, I'm sure. But when I was thinking about what to say today about the Trinity, I remembered a famous commencement speech that David Foster Wallace gave at the Kenyon College in 2005, a couple of years before he died. And it became an internet sensation, and it's been shared I don't know how many gazillion times. And after his death, it was published as a really thin book and entitled This Is Water. It's a good speech. Well, it's not really a good speech because he's a terrible public speaker. But it's a really good little book, and I highly recommend it. This Is Water. Very short, very to the point. And here's how it begins. There are these two young fish swimming along, and they happen to meet an older fish swimming the other way, who nods at them and says, "Morning, boys. How's the water?" And the two young fish swim on for a bit, and then eventually one of them looks over at the other and goes, "What the hell is water?" Although he wasn't an overtly Christian man or even a very religious person, Wallace, he had this keen sense of the mystery of our spiritual lives as human beings on earth in the third millennium. He goes on to give this as a little explication of his little parable. He says, "I am not the wise old fish. The point of the story is merely that the most obvious, most important realities are often the ones that are hardest to see and hardest to talk about." And those fish are just swimming along, kind of like we are all just swimming along most of our lives, immersed in the very water that holds us up and gives us life. That water is God, whom we know to be love, mysterious and life-giving. The water that surrounds us is also the communities in which we live, our schools, our friends, our church. That water is also God's beautiful creation that we are so blessed to be a part of, in which we are so responsible for the protection and care of. And that water, well, it may be the Trinity working itself out in the world and in our lives. Wallace went on to talk about how connected we all are, no matter how hard we try to deny it. Oh, he says, we can choose to see ourselves as individual fish swimming around on our own, but if we choose to see ourselves that way, oblivious to the water and to one another, and I'll say to the God in whom we live and breathe and have our being, well, in that case, other fish can become just a nuisance, And we're liable to end up lonely and bitter. Because he claims we get to choose what we worship. We're free people. And he says that we all worship something. He claims there are no atheists among us. But here's the catch. If we worship money, we'll always want more and we'll always feel poor. If we worship intellect, we'll always feel a little dumb and a little inept. If we worship our bodies, we'll always feel ugly, or at least not beautiful enough, which is perhaps even worse. So here's how Wallace ends his commencement speech. He says, the capital T truth is about life before death, which has almost nothing to do with knowledge and everything to do with simple awareness. Awareness of what is so real and essential, so hidden in plain sight all around us, all the time, that we have to keep reminding ourselves over and over, this is water. This is water. He doesn't say it, so I will. This one God, this Holy Trinity, in all of its unexplainable mystery, is the water we are swimming in together. This is where we swim. And what feels freer than a good swim on a hot summer day? Happy Pentecost. Happy Trinity Sunday. Happy summer. Amen.